I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. I think one of the many emotions that people run through every day during a time of national shutdown or pandemic is just simple frustration. We don't know what's coming next. We don't know who to believe. We don't know what is going to change permanently. And I think my wife was telling me earlier today, she's getting sick of hearing the term new normal. We don't know what normal is going to be. I can barely remember what normal was. It seems like this thing has gone on forever. What about repentance in a time of pandemic? What is the comfort when everything is changing of God's unchanging word for the Christian? Joining us to talk about repentance during pandemic, Pastor Matt Harrison. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of several books, including his latest, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? Also a column for the May issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled This Pandemic is Temporary. Matt, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Matt, many Lutheran lay people and pastors are very upset with what they perceive as an infringement on their free exercise of religion during this time of pandemic. What can you tell them?
Yeah, I'm very upset too. And it comes down to a couple of things. People view this pandemic somewhat differently. If you've had deaths in your congregation or deaths of family members or others who are terribly sick, and you're in an area of the country which is a hot spot, your views will be quite different from many of the folks in the LCMS who are in less populated areas, more rural areas, etc. Also, some states are putting what appear to be rather draconian kind of policies in place. I think especially of Illinois, basically doesn't open up churches, that is to have more than 50 people in church at a time, that's with all the safety stuff, but doesn't allow that until there are virtually, I think, no cases of COVID left in the state of Illinois, while schools are to open up earlier. So these are issues that need to be addressed. Now, we've been in touch with Alliance Defending Freedom and other entities all the way through this, working with local district presidents about their local situations, working with, listening to the Illinois guys. The challenge in the law is that constitutionally, a governor may put restrictions on First Amendment rights if, in fact, that is done to all equally, regardless of religion, faith, or anything else. That is, all gatherings of a certain number of people are restricted according to their category, like theaters and church, places where people are sitting for a long time together. And they've been able to do that so far, as is consistent with law. Now, the government also has to follow least restrictive practices when taking these actions in time of pandemic or illness that they don't want to spread. And so there is a constitutional burden. Are they doing it in the least restrictive fashion? I think congregations and pastors who are concerned need to express their concerns to their leadership and do it politely, kindly, but do it very clearly. And I think basically more reasonable laws will follow in the end.
In the 16th century, when the Black Plague, one wave of it, struck the city of Wittenberg, what did the reformer Martin Luther write to a friend about that pandemic?
Yeah, it's an amazing piece written right about 1526 or so, 2526. And he frees the conscience on the one hand, and he says, look, if your conscience just is not up to this, or you're not up to doing this, serving your neighbor in these situations, you may flee. But he encourages people in their vocations to react as though good citizens react in the case of a city that is burning. They join in the bucket brigade and help out their city. And, you know, it's interesting that the plague was bacterial. It was borne by fleas, of course. We know much later, the bubonic plague. And it wasn't a virus, and it wasn't, in that respect, in many respects, it was different from COVID. But Luther said, I'm staying. God can basically kill me elsewhere as well as he can kill me here, and I'm going to serve the dying. And he did stay. And he had numerous people dying in his arms. He had the children of his friends dying, the mayor's wife, who was a good friend, and there were others. The difference is, in this case, of course, a pastor might be a carrier. Luther's practices were, as he says, are very sanitary. But in our case, a pastor could potentially take the virus, especially from parishioner to parishioner. So it puts us in a very challenging circumstance.
Why was Luther willing to remain there in the city during the plague and pitch in himself?
Well, he had a clear vocation, and he believed he was in the position to actually continue to serve, and he had a commitment to doing it. I think it's the same kind of commitment that so many of our church workers and pastors have. Our pastors are working overtime. They're following the laws and restrictions, like 10 people only for communion services. They're offering multiple services. They're trying to stay on top of who's in the hospital where. They're going to hospitals if they're allowed. Even if they're not allowed in the room, sometimes they're allowed outside. Many times they're turned away. And it's a terrible burden. Many pastors have can't minister to their dear parishioners of decades of years because of this terrible virus. And they're doing it because they know they have a vocation from God to do it, and they're doing it as best they can under the circumstances, but also feeling guilty. They shouldn't feel guilty, but that's a natural outcome of very stressful situations.
You say that Luther likely wrote the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, during the plague. Why is that important?
I think it's great. It's the most famous Protestant hymn. It's the greatest Lutheran hymn. It's the hymn we love to sing on Reformation anniversaries. We tend to think of it only in the context of a religious struggle, Luther's great religious struggle with the Roman Church. And yet, that Psalm 46 is much broader than that. It's a struggle with sin, death, and the devil. And that includes plague. And I think it's really meaningful when we realize that and that know that Luther was struggling with circumstances far worse than our own, but very similar in many respects. And nevertheless, God inspired him to write this great battle hymn of the Reformation.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We're talking about repentance in a time of pandemic. What is he hearing from pastors and congregations in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? We'll get the answer to that question next. I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
In many ways, St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bel Air, Maryland, is just like any other Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Church. They have worship services each Sunday and reach out to their community, but one thing they don't do is pay their electric bill. Hello, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. And if you want to hear what St. Matthew actually did to eliminate their electric bill, just visit interesttime.org. That's interesttime.org.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If only we could see and hear what takes place in the divine service. The holy God's voice pours out eternal gifts. Sinners are washed in cleansing water that saves them from death. The Son of God gives his body and blood for us, the food of immortality. The church on earth blends her voice with angels and saints in glory to praise our God. These wondrous mysteries take place at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Stevensville, Montana, 184 Pine Hollow Road. Call 406-777-5625 or find us on Facebook.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is our guest. We're discussing repentance in a time of pandemic. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. So, Matt, what are you hearing from pastors and congregations during this time?
Well, we're hearing quite a lot. I think I'm hearing that pastors are working their tails off. Teachers are working. They've had very much increased work schedules, trying to do all the things online they're doing without having proximity to the students and being able to work hands-on with them. And so it increases their plate. I've heard that, you know, the Missouri Synod probably has, 1,200, 1,400 preschools. All those preschools are shut. And those preschools, that means the workers at those preschools, our dear teachers and staff, are just out. There are a number of pastors and church workers who are suffering. Our institutions are all challenged financially, but I'm also hearing that pastors are working very hard to serve their people. They're doing it under very less than ideal circumstances. They have dying parishioners they cannot visit in the hospital. I hear that repeatedly. You have whole families who have contracted the virus. You have situations where pastors have no access, let alone family members, to be with their loved ones as they die. You have truncated funerals that are very perfunctory. I hear pastors concerned and worrying about having a whole slew of memorial services for those who have passed during this COVID virus. And I hear great frustration with the legal ramifications and the restrictions being placed upon many of our congregations, especially where those congregations are in less sparsely populated areas or areas that have not had much of the COVID virus.
What kind of questions should all of us be asking ourselves at a time like this, Matt?
Well, I think this is a great time for us to be thankful. I mean, just ask the question, what would I do if I didn't have a faithful pastor and teaching faithful doctrine out of the Bible and the Lutheran confessions, faithful to the small catechism? What would I do if I didn't have access to a parochial school for my children or a confirmation instruction by my pastor? What would I do without my church? I think right now I'm thinking this. I love my congregation. I love my pastor. I love serving that congregation. I love being there with them more than ever. And that is a fantastic blessing. Remember, Luther said, the word of God passes away for thanklessness. And how thankless we have been for our wonderful church, our church body, our districts, our doctrine, our worship. How thankless we have been for our pastors, our seminaries. So I think that's a question. I think we should ask, how have we responded in this circumstance? So many churches with their musicians and pastors have worked overtime just trying to get services up on the internet for people to partake of while doing smaller communion services on a sign-up basis. That's a ton of extra work. And the challenge is now there appears to be no end in sight for many, even as restrictions kind of lift. So what's my role in the community? Where are the doors for outreach? How is this thing going to change us? How is it going to change my congregation? What do we need to think about as a place where we gather to receive God's gifts and invite others to gather and then go out and share those gifts and bring them back? A lot of questions will be hanging for us all.
You would direct us for guidance from God's word to the fourth and the fifth commandments. Why those, Matt?
Well, I think right through this, this has been a question of honoring government. I think we should always be critical citizens, to be sure. And there is a place for critique. There's a place for wondering what motives people have and what's swirling around in this mix. Although the Christian should not be paranoid. We have government at various levels. I've noted where our LCMS people and pastors have taken issue with regulations they thought were not clear, where one community was allowed to have drive-in services at their church and the next community was absolutely forbidden. That situation has since been rectified. But as our people approached government, they did so respectfully under the Fourth Commandment, but also knowing that our own confessions, the Augsburg Confession and the Apology, Article 15, 16, redress is allowed. That is, it's not illegal to call upon government to be accountable for its actions or act differently or act consistently. So I think part of the Fourth Commandment is knowing we also have the issue of justice and redress. Fifth Commandment is, of course, not doing harm to your neighbor and acting for the benefit of your neighbor. Therefore, we have a duty to not act irresponsibly in this terrible situation so that we might endanger others. And that means taking precautions when we gather for church. And it's a pain, it's a nuisance, but we must do it for the sake of love for our neighbor.
Matt, what do you say to those who are troubled because they cannot gather for worship and the Lord's Supper at this time?
You know, I remember how many times in confirmation class or other circumstances, the question comes up, why does God forgive us in so many different ways? Confession, absolution, preaching of the word, the hearing of the word, reading of the word, the reception of the Lord's Supper, holy baptism. And I think I always answer, it's just God is plenteous in his offerings for us for surety. And I remember the statement which the Lutheran confessions adopt of Augustine, that it's not the absence of the sacrament which condemns, but the despising of it. So we can trust fully that even though our reception of the supper may not be so frequent now or at all, given our circumstances, if we're one of the vulnerable groups, we can be absolutely sure of the Word of God. We can be absolutely sure of our baptism. We can be absolutely certain of eternal life, forgiveness, salvation, and richly so. You know, Luther said if he were among those who did not believe and therefore did not administer the actual body and blood of Christ, he would rather go his entire life than receive that sacrament from someone who did not confess the true body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. So the Lord will preserve us. And, you know, I just think finally when we're back together at that altar, I think of my own context when I'm both distributing and both receiving at the altar where I serve and the altar where I receive. I think that will be one of the most joyous days of my earthly life.
We're talking about repentance in a time of pandemic. Our guest is Pastor Matt Harrison, author of several books, including his latest, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can purchase it online. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Talk On Demand Archives. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how he expects things to change after the pandemic, and if things do change, what in particular will change? After our conversation with Pastor Matt Harrison concludes, Dr. Ken Sherb joins us for part three of our Studies in Acts series. Today we'll be talking about Timothy in Acts.
Still proclaiming the Word of God during a global pandemic, you are listening to Issues, Etc.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel, more than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about repentance in a time of pandemic. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is our guest. He's author of several books, including his latest, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran?, and a column for the May issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled, This Pandemic is Temporary. So, Matt, do you expect the pandemic to change things for the congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
I do. I do expect it to change things. It may change things for the better. It may change them for the worse. I'm not at all convinced that we should be administering the sacrament through the internet or by speaking the words of institution at home. That's an issue that we need to talk through, work through theologically. I think there may be a propensity for us to gravitate more to online church as though online church were a substitute for, a replacement for actual membership, actual attendance, and reception of the sacraments at a place near me with an actual pastor who will forgive my sins, deliver the sacraments to me, and visit me and hold my hand and comfort me with the scriptures and make the sign of the cross on me in my hospital bed, give me the Holy Sacrament in those circumstances. So while the internet is a blessing, and it funny, I had my father-in-law, who's 97, who I respect tremendously and love dearly, he was quite agitated because there was not enough of praying or Christianity expressed on the television stations that he watches, the news stations. And he just was remembering World War II, when the nation was much more ostensibly Christian. And he was just disturbed. And I said, Bill, you must realize there's more proclamation of the gospel going on, reaching more people from the Missouri Synod today than ever before in its history. It's just happening on a medium that you are not connected with. It's called the internet. So that's a blessing. But if it moves us away from concrete, incarnational Christ, sacraments, pastors, congregants, people, that's something we have to be very careful about.
Finally then, Matt, what is the comfort of God's unchanging word during this time of change, during and after the pandemic?
It's really amazing. You know, Dr. Barry told me that every year he read through the Bible. I don't know if you ever heard this, but every year he would read through the Bible looking at one particular topic or aspect. I think he described the Bible as kind of a diamond, and dependent on which facet you're looking at, it looks ever new every time through. I, of course, in my former work, did that with the issue of mercy, for instance, or compassion. And it's striking. I think reading the Bible through in the midst of these challenges, the general anxiety, the frustration, the not knowing, the economic malaise, the deaths, the relatives. I have a relative now who's contracted COVID, and many friends who have relatives who have contracted the disease or died. And I just, Romans 8 is just fantastic. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who shall be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it who condemns? And then, of course, at the end, know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, not height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of several books, including his latest, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran?, and a column for the May issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled This Pandemic is Temporary. The Lutheran Witness interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. It's available in print and online. Learn more at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness. Matt, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you always.
It's part three of our Studies in Acts series with Dr. Ken Sherb. When we come back, we'll be talking about Timothy, his place in the story of Acts. Stay tuned.
Despair says nobody cares, and that's not true.
Dr. Christian Kincaid, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May, Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort.
And despair says there's no hope for me. And that's not true. To despair is not of God.
Learn more about Living with Grief at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.